Morning, brothers, sisters. Been a topic that's been on my mind for quite some time already. I listened to a message here some time ago from Anabaptist perspective. And that message was pertaining to the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? What does it take to get there? We've already heard the message this morning, what it takes to get there. But how can we stay there? If we are there, found in the kingdom of God, is it present? Is it past, present, or future? It's all three of those. It's been in the past, it's now, and it will be in the future. In Romans 14:17, it says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." So it's not what we eat. It's not what we drink. Is it something that we can do? Is it something that I need to do to stay in the kingdom of heaven? To stay rooted and grounded in God's kingdom. Acts 14:22 says, "Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God." That was the verse that was in that message. And I found that verse interesting, that in order to stay in the kingdom of God, it takes work. It's not something that I've done yesterday and it'll last for my entire life. It's not that way. Appreciate also what's been shared with me this morning, Brother Aaron, about that it's not, if I'm saved, my children can't get underneath that plan of salvation. It's got to be my own. You can't make that choice for your children. Your children can see an example of you, and they can follow that example. John 3:3 says, "And Jesus answered and said unto him," this is the story of Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God." So if we're expecting to get to the kingdom of God, is it just on my good works? I've helped this person, I've helped that person, I've done that, I've done this. Is that enough? No, it's not. We need to continue in the faith, as it says. So if we're planning to get to heaven, what is our plan to get to heaven if we don't even know the shepherd's voice? We need to know the shepherd's voice in order for us to get there. We can't be a part of the kingdom of God today and not tomorrow. If we are, we're just a part-timer, and that's not of God. In Acts 9, there's a story of Peter. When he went to the certain town, he found this man named Ananias, and he was sick for 8 years. This is the urgency of today. Of being found in the kingdom of God. Peter said unto him, Ananias, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise, make thy bed. And he arose immediately. It wasn't waiting. It wasn't, okay, I'll decide tomorrow. It's today. Today is the day. It didn't just happen just for that man, but as we read on in that story, it says that all that dwelt at Lydia and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. So it doesn't just affect us. If I made the choice to follow God, it's not just for me, but it's also for those around me. They see it. They can tell the difference. They can see the difference in my life. Hopefully that's what you guys can see here, a difference in my life. You didn't know my past. My past is not important. My future is what's important. Your future is what's important. It's not the past. Acts 20, there we have the story of Simeon. Peter's told him, but Peter said unto him, Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. So we can't buy this kingdom with money. How do we get it? What does it take to get the kingdom of God? Going back to the very first, one of the first verses there, it takes work. It takes continuing in the faith. But then there was a time in Simeon's life there in Acts 20 that he was desperate. He wanted to have what the apostles had, what Peter and those had. Then answered Simeon and said, "Pray ye the Lord, to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me." Peter gave him an analysis of, if you don't make the choice today, this is what's going to be before you. Is that what we're looking for? Is it just the money that we're after? Hopefully that's not what it is. In Matthew 18, it says there, "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as the little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive such a little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." So as the little children watch us growing ups, what are they seeing? Are they seeing that we continue the faith? Are they seeing the walk that is continuous? Or do we stray off to the side? Then we go to the left. Then we go to the right. Then we go back to the middle of the road. What do they see? What's the chances of me or you as a growing up, or those that are walking in the kingdom of God? What are the chances of those, if we would stray off to the side, that millstone was hanged about my neck or your neck, and you would be able to, they would pitch you off like they did Jonah, off the ship, off to the side. Would we be able to swim with that millstone hanging about our neck? No. There won't be nothing but a bunch of bubbles coming to the top. That's it. So let's not be that person. Matthew 6, 33 and 34 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Seek ye first the kingdom of God. We see in Matthew where there's a different wording. All the other gospels uses the kingdom of God, and Matthew uses the kingdom of heaven occasionally. But here's one that he used, the kingdom of God. Luke 11, 9 and 10 says, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." Ask, seek, and knock. First, I need to ask. I need to ask God to be with me, that I can be in the kingdom of God, that I can be found worthy of the kingdom of God. Hebrews 13:5-6 said, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." So when we're following in the ways of God, when we're walking in the kingdom of God in the present day, that's something that's today, not tomorrow, not yesterday. It's today. When we're walking in that way, let's be content. That's a problem I have, is to be content. I'm always wanting to be better. But God says, just to be content where I have you, not to try to gain something else outside of that. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." When we ask for prayer, is it because we are weak, or does it give us strength? You know, if I'm following in the ways of God, and there's someone that comes to me and asks, I want to have, just like Peter and Simeon there. Simeon said, "Pray for me that these things don't come upon me." So if someone comes and asks you for prayer, for strength, for guidance through times in their life, maybe they're not following in the path of God, but they want to have what you have. How can you describe to them to get there? We need to tell them, first of all, about Jesus. What Jesus has done for me, what he's done for you. It's not important what I have done in the past. It's not important where I was in the past. It's where I'm going today is what's important. Then we need to seek, to go in search or quest of, to look for, to search for by going from place to place. If you seek, this is the meaning of seek out of the Webster. If we seek to know or find something or someone, how dedicated are we of finding it or knowing it? So if we're dedicated to seeking, are we set? Do we have our sights? Do we have a tunnel vision of where we're going? Or are we looking off to the side? What is our tunnel vision? What about when we knock? Ask, seek, and knock. What if we go somewhere that we're not familiar with, and we come to the door? I had to think of an illustration. Many years ago, we was in another state, and we went to visit someone of an evening. It was after dark. I was not familiar with the people, but those that was with me were familiar with them. So we thought we was at the right house. We knocked on the door. No one came to the door, and I think finally someone came to the door, but it was not who we was expecting. So when we're knocking, we all seen that motto with Jesus standing on the outside of the door with no knob there. The knob is on the inside of the door. So we have to make the choice to open that door for him to enter in. That night, the person opened the door, but it wasn't who we was looking for. It wasn't who that person thought it should have been. So let's be careful on what door we knock. In Matthew 5, you can turn to that, starting in verse 2. It's the Beatitudes. Here we see where Matthew used the kingdom of heaven. Verse 2, he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Verse 9 is the verse that I wanted to touch on. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. So when we're walking in the path of the kingdom of God, we're found in this verse. We're peacemakers. But if we're not walking in the kingdom of God pathway, then we can't be found as peacemakers. We need to be found as peacemakers in this life. This subject was as much for me as it was for anyone else. As I studied this, there's much more to this. I know that we just barely touched the surface of the kingdom of God in Scripture. There's many other scriptures that come to my mind, you know, as I looked into this, and I thought, well, you know, where do I go? How do I get there? It's so a vast subject. We could talk about it all day long for a lifetime. It's just like the love of God. You know, the love of God, if the ocean was all ink, every man a scribe, there wouldn't be enough of paper to write it all down. No one would even want to follow what we had wrote if that would be the case, because it would be too vast. You just can't get done with it. It's so big. And that's how it is with the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is just endless. How do I even describe it? That's what went through my mind as I started this study. I thought, how can I even describe the kingdom of God? What makes the kingdom of God? How can I be part of it? What makes me want to be part of the kingdom of God? It's the peace that comes with that. So, guy that went to the prison quite often, prisoner asked him one day, he said, so describe to me in one word. I'd like for you to just think about this. describe to me in one word what happened when you found the ways of God in your life. He said, peace. Peace. And I think that describes as much in my life as I can even say it. I mean, it's just, it's peace. It's hopeful and peaceful when I'm around you, and not just around Jens, but around everyone. Hopefully they just find peace when I'm there. Hopefully they can see that I had met with Jesus that morning before I left. How is it for you? How do you find it to stay focused in your life on the kingdom path? How do you do? How do you start your day? If you're not in the kingdom path, in the kingdom of God, where are you? What's your plan to get to heaven if you're not found in the kingdom of God today? If we're not found in the kingdom of God today, what if God would require your soul today? If he was to require my soul or your soul right now, before you take the next breath, what would be your end? Where would you spend the next 1,000,000 years? May the Lord bless.